everybody. Welcome back to Popcorn for Dinner. This is Jeff.
And Kelly.
Big, huge, fucking gigantic family movie month. Week three brings us the movie I thought we were getting week one. Like, not that I knew of them, because I don't feel like I ever really looked into either of those movies, the Cheaper by the Dozen or this week's movie. But this was when I like heard a story of like two people with a shitload of kids. Mm-hmm. This is the story that I pictured. We may as well honestly just jump right into this fucking ridiculous movie, because obviously it's going back to a million children as opposed to just the like extended family. Brings up a ton of the same questions that I had in Cheaper by the Dozen in terms of like the logistics of this. And then also adds like a million more questions. Because the situation is like considerably more complicated than it is of like just two people having a ton of kids.
Yes.
But the movie that we're talking about for this week is the 2005 American family comedy film Yours, Mine, and Ours. A remake as well.
Yeah.
Much like Cheaper by the Dozen.
Yeah.
Like around the same time too, 2003, 2005. This was like the time.
Yep.
To do this shit,
giant
apparently.
Family movies
yeah,
from
was
past.
Like, everyone loves a bunch of kids. I don't know.
Wasn't Parent Trap around the same, the Lindsay Lohan Parent Trap, wasn't that around the same time, or was that earlier?
No, that was earlier, because 2003 was Mean Girls.
Oh,
so she was already.
Yeah.
Like,
that was probably like.
It's probably
96,
like 90. Yeah, I was going to say 96, something like that. But that's not even. Like, this is like specifically. Like abnormally huge families.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not just like two families. Colliding, because that's what this movie is. Cheaper by the Dozen was just two people having a bunch of kids. This one is the old classic two separate people with tons of kids come together to create an unholy abomination of a union. Like it's nothing about this makes any fucking sense.
Nope.
Like it coming from a like realistic perspective. And apparently it's a true story, quotes. It's another one of those things where it's like it's kind of sort of based on a real story, except it's not. I was reading that there's, you know, it like there's just a certain point where it's like, yeah, no, it's like, oh yeah, they got that detail and then this detail and then and that's about it. This movie is like the cliche family comedy movie. Like every single beat you think it's gonna hit, it does. Every single like easy joke you think it's gonna grab, it will.
Yep.
You know, like 100%.
There's a goofy pet,
like... Yes, of course, a goofy pet. There's the twins. The twin kids, of course, like the same fucking movie again. Bullying of the new weird kids, if there's a move, a huge house that the kids go and wreck up the place and all that kind of jazz. Yeah, but like this one just has that extra added layer where like Cheaper by the Dozen was a bunch of kids versus their parents. You know, this is two rival factions of children against each other, and then like 45 minutes in, joining forces versus their mom and dad. I'll jump into the IMDb description so we can just start talking about it. Like, a widowed Coast Guard admiral and a widowed handbag designer fall in love and marry, much to the dismay of his 8 and her 10 children. That's a bad sentence. I don't like that sentence.
That is quite terrible.
It's poorly written. But it gets across all the pertinent information. There's an admiral. There's a hippie. They each have too many kids. And they decide to rekindle a high school flame.
Yeah.
And in the process, potentially ruin the lives of 18 children.
Yes.
Like, what are they thinking?
They're in love. It doesn't matter.
They don't even really go into that. Like the bit becomes a joke of just like, oh yeah. And then in the next scene, they said they're married and everyone's like, what the fuck is that? And they just kind of blow past it. There's not like that should be a stopping point for everybody to be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait a minute, what are you talking about? But instead, they're just like, yep, and then we're going to move into the giant house with the kids and whatever. It's like there's no, you know, they have side characters, but none of them are like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, like, I guess it makes sense that Dave Koechner doesn't care because it's him and he's the guy he is in everything. Mm-hmm. So, like, yeah, he's not going to ask any questions. But
sets,
like,
Dennis Quaid up with his ex-wife.
Yeah, his own ex-wife. Like, it's so ridiculous.
David.
I mean, Dennis Quaid. I have zero real problems with Dennis Quaid. Like, I mean, I have no idea what he's like personally, but like in terms of movies that he's in, it's like normally he's perfectly charismatic and whatever. And like he's believable for the most part. He's essentially Kevin Costner, you know, like it's kind of the same guy, that sort of deal. So you're like, all right, I buy it. It's fine. I don't think he does like pratfall physical comedy well. Like, I hated those faces that he made during all those sequences, like the forklift sequence or the sliding in the paint sequence. Like, they are fucking Three Stooges broad. Like, so bad. Like, it's the equivalent of the slasher movie victim sticking their tongue out getting killed, where it's like, come on, have a little dignity.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ, you need to play this better. Like, this is absolutely absurd. So, like, he's fine in the admiral role. Like, I buy him as a military guy. Like, okay, yeah, I get that.
Yeah,
but the like silly falling around guy is like, oh, you know, you should have gotten Randy Quaid if this is what he's supposed to be doing. You would have preferred Randy Quaid. And then Rene Russo as
Helen.
Yes, Helen. I don't know much of her work.
Yeah,
you know, it's like she's one of those names where it's like Rene Russo. Oh, the actress. Like, yeah, you've seen her. Like, no. I've just heard.
I have now.
I've just heard. I mean, technically, we have seen her because she's in Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal. She's the like boss of his that he. Yeah. So she's good. I have zero problems with her.
I remember loving her in that role too.
Yeah, but in a similar vein, she's also not zany enough for me. You know, like she's fine. Again, like, I believable as the like hippie. Does whatever she sort of feels vibe, the contrast to the fucking military guy, like she fits it and it works. But in terms of like, oh, to elevate, to make it better than the like baseline movie that it is, they just don't. Neither of them. You know what I mean? It's like there's a possibility that this movie is like somewhat bearable with the right actors in it, you know, where it's like, it wasn't great, but at least they were there doing their thing. Like, you know, like a Jim Carrey or something who can like really wacky it up.
Yeah.
But regardless, like that is the fact that they're both widowed. I made a note of that because like at the top, they're not fully, you know what I mean? It's not like they both have scenes of one of their kids being like, well, ever since mom/dad died, you know, like it's sort of more kind of gently told to the audience that you're like, oh, that's what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Like the odds that two like high school sweetheart prom dates like have their prom night that they believe is so magical and yet I don't even remember what excuse they give in the movie about what happened that split them apart. I have no fucking remembrance of that at all.
It was something like he was going to propose and then something happened, but I do not recall.
Yeah. Regardless, though, it was like, oh, we were meant to be together back then and then it didn't happen. And then we both got married.
Mm-hmm.
We both had children.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least a couple of them were actually her children, right?
Four
of them. Okay. Yeah.
She adopted six.
Right. Okay. But like, yes, they both have multiple children, like big families, and then lose their spouse.
Yeah.
And then reconnect and are like, oh my God, that prom night.
Yeah.
As though fucking nothing else has happened in their lives since then.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dudes, your lives are ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You are an admiral.
Yeah.
And you're still like, oh man. Like, there was a point way later in the movie, and I'm kind of jumping ahead, but he calls her he says something about her being his true love.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, her? You know, not the not the lady that you like promised your life to and gave you eight children.
Uh-huh.
This is the love of your life. wow.
Yeah.
You know, like that is, oof.
You might be smoten, smited.
Yeah, I mean, that's just an absurd thing for a character to say. Yeah. And for it to be like, yeah, like the movie expecting you to agree with it and be like, this is great. These two getting together, like, well, they're both kind of selfish.
Yeah.
Truthfully,
like a lot selfish in their decision in the moment. In general, she seems like she's not a selfish person. Like, she has adopted 6 kids of varying backgrounds.
Yeah.
Like the song said, they have sisters from New Delhi.
God, don't remind me of that fucking scene. That was one of the corniest, fucking stupidest fucking things I've ever seen in my life. I was like, this is the worst kind of movie.
I mean, it's a Nickelodeon movie. We haven't even mentioned that.
Like, yeah, I was gonna say, I when there was like 4 fucking production companies that popped up on screen at the opening credits, I was like, oh my God, why did it take so many people to make this, because of all the kids?
I guess.
Speaking of Drake Bell,
yeah,
weird time to watch this movie.
Yeah,
immediately.
Yeah.
Following Quiet on Set is like, oh hey, it's Drake Bell, like literally in the midst of time of his life he can barely remember, because oh God. Yeah. Like that's so duh.
Hey, look, Marina Cosgrove's there.
Yeah, she seems okay, right? She's all right.
She hasn't come out and said anything yet. Others around her have, clearly.
And then Panabaker. It's like something Panabaker.
The girl that was on Good Luck Charlie.
Was she on that show?
Yeah. Yeah, oh. She was like the main...
Was she the lead of that show? I didn't even know that.
She was, yeah.
Oh, that's funny, because I know her from the Friday the 13th remake.
Oh, that I haven't seen?
Yeah, I don't think so. Those are the only kids that I recognize, but the adult cast has quite a handful of like, oh my God, oh my God. Like we had already said, Dave Koechner popping up as his like partner, whatever the hell he is, his vice admiral. Yeah, I don't know.
Friend but now colleague.
Coast Guard buddy.
Yeah.
Dave Koechner, of course. And then Jerry O'Connell popping up as Helen's like agent or something. I don't know exactly what he was.
Yeah, he was the one that was
securing the Sachs deal.
Yeah, I guess agent is the right term. Like she makes the thing and he goes out and gets it in places. He's that person, manager, whatever.
Yeah. And then
Mrs. Ripped. Munion.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's a good one. What I forget her name. Linda Hunt.
Linda Hunt.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
She's pretty great. Her role is so like, of course, like they do the things that like you sort of expect them to do, which are the like reversal things, you know, where it's like, oh, she's this tiny little lady.
Mm-hmm.
And then she sits down to watch wrestling. She loves wrestling
with her martini.
Yeah, where it's like, okay, that's silly random humor from the early 2000s. It was like, what's the most random thing she can like?
Yeah.
And then one of my favorites, Rip Torn.
Yes.
As his like commanding officer guy. The bit that I actually enjoyed was him, I forget how he phrases it, but just his whole little bit about like, I can't give you a compliment directly because that threatens my masculinity. Oh, just come here. And he gives him a big old hug. Like, I thought that was actually a pretty hysterical piece of writing.
Mm-hmm.
There was also one other line from this movie that I actually thought was like absolutely hysterical. And I was like, where has this been? How has this not been the whole movie? Like, how do the people who write these lines keep writing all this other trash in here? But it's when the kids finally stand up to that group of bullies at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, you don't mess with our family, blah, 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 blah. And the one kid asks, you know, you stop ignorance? And the bully goes, education? And then they're like, no, a butt whooping. And I was like, that honestly kind of feels like Futurama-esque of that kind of joke. Like, that is so funny to me. And I couldn't believe it was in the movie. And it's like right at the end, too. So it's like, oh, what?
God damn it.
You had this in you the whole time, movie? What are we doing? That was so good, though. Education. but the movie expects you to, like, take so many leaps with, like, okay, yeah, so they get married, and it's just like, and it's done. And it's happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, apparently nothing, like, if nothing is happening on screen, it's not happening. because it's like, okay, so they got married and now they're getting together, and at no point do we see them discuss how to parent 18 children.
Yeah.
And then you, like, they get to the, like, we're all living in this house and it's time for us all to be a family, and you realize, like, oh yeah, they clearly have never discussed,
yeah,
their parenting styles, how they expect things to go in this house. Like, you are moving 20 people, 21 because of Ms. Munyon. Yes. You're moving 21 people into one giant house.
Plus a pig. And I think there were a couple cats around too. I don't know.
That's possible. The pig ate the cats. I don't know.
It's possible.
But like, all of this fucking shit, and you apparently have never, like, discussed this, because every time one of them comes up with a, like, thing of what they're going to do, the other one's like, really? You want to do it like that?
Yeah.
It's like, you didn't think that the Admiral was going to, like, try to have some form of, like, rigid...
very structured and organized and timely.
Yeah, and like, okay, so, like, who knows what they were like as teenagers when they, quote-unquote, fell in love.
Yeah.
But, like, since then, he has become a goddamn Admiral. Mm-hmm. She has become a, like, do-whatever-she-wants hippie. And so they move in together. Like, that's a sitcom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's not two people who should be married. You know? Like, that is the craziest shit. And for them to just be like, oh, geez, I didn't realize that this wouldn't work. I just figured that one night we had 30 fucking years ago, maybe more, because he looks kind of old. but, like, all those years ago, that is enough to base, like, yeah, this will work.
Yeah.
This will be great. Like, I wrote down at a certain point, I was like, I'm on the children's side.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the children's side for so much of this movie, and it's weird.
Yeah.
You know, like, I didn't expect to be, but I totally was. Like, one of my early notes when they're moving into their new house.
Mm-hmm. The lighthouse?
Frank's family. No. At the very beginning, moving into their new house.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote 12 moves, and their last one was from San Diego. Thanks, expa children. Yeah. Like, they were clearly, it's just like, and then one kid comes up and tells us the next thing about their lives, mm-hmm, so that we know what's up. And then the next kid, and then the next kid. It's like assembly line, literally, to tell us all the things we needed to know.
Well, and so you also know he's in the military.
But I wrote, maybe it's just me, but I don't think it's fair for a military dad to have so many goddamn children. Like, if you know you are going to be moving so much,
mm-hmm,
like, that's not fair to those kids.
No. Nope.
It's like, oh yeah, all these fucking kids that I'm probably barely half paying attention to all of their lives.
Yeah.
Because I am an admiral, mm-hmm, and I apparently leave all the time at the drop of a hat.
That's why Mrs. Munyon's there.
Well, exactly. But that's what's, like, fucking crazy is, like, not only are you moving them all around the world,
but also Mrs. Munyon.
Yeah, and Mrs. Munyon. But also, you're then abandoning them.
Yeah.
In that place, just to be like, all right, that's where you live now, and I'll see you later.
Yeah, have fun, like, go to school.
Yeah, like, that's fucking awful for those children.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm not trying to say it in any way of, like, there should be legislation or something like that, but more so just, like, that's a dick move.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real dick move to, like, I mean, that sounds like a dick thing to say, to be like, it's a dick move to have a family, but, like, it's a dick move to have this family,
yeah,
this specific thing. Just, I don't know. It just doesn't seem right.
It's a bad situation.
Yeah. And then her house, which I called Crazy House of Nonsense, because that's essentially what's going on. It's just like all the kids doing whatever they want, however they want. Drake Bell spray painting everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only specific that I can actually remember. Or no, Panda Baker's playing guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Miranda Cosgrove's playing saxophone.
Mm-hmm.
All the other kids are just sort of running around. I don't remember most of them.
Other than the little... I hate to say it like this, but the little Eastern Asian boy.
Oh, the
like, he's going to be gay when he grows up character.
Yeah, the very clearly coded to be like a little gay.
Yeah.
Not a little gay, but a little gay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems pretty clear, but the movie is also very like, we didn't say anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're like, look, he fucking loves designing clothes and has like a sassy attitude.
This is just, like, what he does with his mom.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, we're not saying nothing, but also part of the joke is that he's like this. You know, like, it's very specifically done that way.
Yeah.
There was also that bit that I wrote down when they're trying to break up the parents. I was like, ah, Frank does not abide cross-dressing children.
No.
Like, that's the two kids walk by wearing dresses, and he's immediately like, Helen! giggling. Yeah. This is a thing we need to fix. Like, yeah. They are children.
Yeah.
Even like they're just like they could very well just be playing dress up.
Yep.
Because they're children. Yep. It means nothing, buddy. Kids, you can calm do down. Yeah. But it's also really telling that that's done specifically to trigger him.
Oh, yeah.
Like his children know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, his children know that. Like, yeah. One time that fucking oldest son. Like, found a dress and put it on for funsies, and Frank beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that
spanking's
happened.
Okay.
Yeah, that fucking absolutely happened in the history of this movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's terrifying.
Talking about hitting all the beats you expect.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, shit's going off the rail that, like, first day that they're at the lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
And so Frank's brilliant idea is to go sailing.
God, like, dude, right? Oh, what? I had a very specific note about this. Yeah, let's learn teamwork and trust in the life and death scenario of sailing in open water.
Yeah.
Like, this is not like trust falls or something. No. This is literally like knock overboard, die.
Mm-hmm.
Small child drowns. Mm-hmm. That's on you, Frank.
Yeah, way to go. Way to go. But of course, one of the kids has to throw up.
Of course,
someone has to slip in it.
And then someone has to get knocked overboard. That was the one I wrote. I was like, you could fucking set your watch to the fact that somebody was getting knocked overboard this goddamn boat.
Oh, yeah.
By the end of this scene. That's just how this works.
Yeah. At least they made it Frank.
Yeah. And there's like three separate notes in here that are essentially, how do you marry someone with so many children and not discuss parenting styles?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it kept coming up. And it was like, okay, so after the first time when you guys realized you never talked about it and a thing happened and you were like, oh, geez, that's because we never fucking talked about it. You then still didn't. You continued to not.
Yep.
You were just like, it was probably just the one thing.
Yeah.
Everything else would be totally fine. Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's so absurd. Like, you fucking assholes. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, oh, God, there's at a certain point, I just wrote, this movie is basically just them trying to get away from children so they can fuck.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes it feel so selfish.
Yeah.
You know, is like, it really seems like it's like, okay, so you're not interested in parenting with this partner.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, yeah, we should totally fucking bone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because we always wanted to, and then life got in the way. And it's not even that's really the big deal. It's really, it's the like forcing all these children together. Like, that they don't like each other.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are, like, actually antagonistic towards each other. Yeah. More so than just, like, oh, these guys. It's more like, oh, I'm gonna fuck them up.
Yeah.
Like, very specifically, like, all of this terrible trauma that's gonna come from just, like, slamming these two families together head on like this. And their whole deal is just like, well, yeah, because we really want a bone.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Yeah. I've been waiting for this. Like, it's so fucking terrible. Like,
yeah.
Ugh. And awful. Again, I mostly agreed with the terrible children.
Yeah.
I was like, I get it. Like, it gets to that point where they decide to break them up.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, that's honestly the only course of action I see.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Like, that's the only way this is going to get through to them. The bits and like pranks and things that they pull are so ridiculous, though, the way that the characters react to them. Like we had already said, the fucking cross-dressing children was enough to get Frank's fucking dander up. The whole bit where the kids rearrange and clean up Helen's studio.
That was too far.
Well, no. Here's what I'm saying. Is that the kids are like, oh yeah, she'll fucking hate it if we take her like organized chaos of a room and organize it.
Yeah.
Like actually organize it in a way because it's going to totally fuck her up. And Frank had already said something about it before of like, oh, geez, you should clean this up. And she's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
That's not how that works.
Yeah.
Like, this is how I like it. So the kids are like, oh, it'll be great. We'll organize all of her shit and she'll be furious with him.
Yeah.
Like, apparently that's the plan for it.
Uh-huh.
And then when they are talking about it, like when he shows up to the studio, once she discovers it and it's like, what the fuck? Where's my this? Where's my that? Oh my God, what happened here?
Yeah.
And he shows up and he looks around and he's like, looks good. I thought you would like this. Or so the way that he phrases it is like just vague enough.
Yeah.
for her to think that he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And so she gets mad and like storms out. But then they have another conversation later where she clearly knows it was the kids.
Yeah.
That's where it should go.
Mm-hmm.
Is like her being like, I can't believe you had the kids do that. And him be like, I didn't.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was a good idea, but like, I didn't tell them to do it. They just did it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's an easy way for you to figure out what your fucking kids are doing here. And instead, it's the like laziest movie way of just like, oh, yeah, we'll get them mad at each other.
Yeah.
With all this silly like sitcom misunderstanding nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that killed me was the kids. Like essentially it's just the oldest four who are really in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them are just like interchangeable. They do things. The one throws a shoe. The other one wants to skin things. I don't know. There's the little girls. Who cares? But like Drake Bell and the military kid and then Panabaker and the military girl. I don't remember their names or any of that junk.
Yeah.
But like those are the four that we actually like follow for like, okay, how are the kids feeling about all this?
Mm-hmm.
And then they like essentially break them up.
Yeah.
And the one girl's like, Helen cried herself to sleep. Like, this is awful. We've done a terrible thing. And I was like, yeah. Like, I wasn't on the kid's side,
mm-hmm.
but like when he's like, is this not what we wanted? And they're all like, but not like this. And
yeah,
it's like, well, then like, how would you have expected it to go?
Yeah, I didn't know it would feel like this.
Yeah, like, well, you should have.
Yeah.
You 100% should have.
You're destroying your mother's relationship.
Yeah, like, yes, I do believe that they were being selfish and shitty, but they were clearly happy.
Yeah.
And so to do this, like, will only result in sadness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if anything, you have to steel yourself against that. And be like, it's for the greater good.
Yeah.
Like, it's bad for this family to be merged with that family.
Mm-hmm.
So we must destroy this and it's gonna hurt.
Yeah.
But it must be done. But instead, it seemed like they were like, oh, yeah, this will be cool. Oh, God, she's sad about it?
Yeah.
Like, you fucking goddamn idiot kids. I've been agreeing with you this whole time. And now you're fucking idiot kids again. God damn it. I did think it was hysterical that all the kids start working together, like seemingly not noticing that they're becoming friends.
Yeah.
You know, like it wasn't like they were like it wasn't until the very end that they actually had like lines of dialogue towards each other about like, I guess you're pretty cool after all,
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was like, you guys have literally been hanging out all day,
mm-hmm.
doing shit together and like making plans and sometimes high-fiving and like, you know what I mean? Like legitimately enjoying each other's company.
Yeah.
And it's like, they don't even notice.
Yeah.
They're like, this is going to be so great when I get rid of you fucking idiots. High five. Frank's promotion is ridiculous. The whole sequence involving it is so movie ridiculous, you know, where it's like, okay, so he goes to the meeting a little bit earlier. Rip Torn tells him that he's going to get promoted. They
mm-hmm.
do that hug thing. It's great. And then it's like, okay, we're going to go to this dinner. And it's just that it's so casual and informal.
Yeah.
That I was like, there's absolutely no way this is how this occurs. And I looked into it and it's not how this would ever occur in any situation.
No.
But the idea that it's like, all right, to accept your promotion, I'm going to stand up in the middle of this dinner,
mm-hmm.
and just like toast everyone and be like, hey, listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's promoted now.
Yeah, he's my successor.
Yeah, like, if he wants it, do you? And then you have to stand up and confirm.
Yeah.
Like, confirm or deny the situation. Like, that cannot be how our government works.
No.
Like,
thankfully.
Oh, God. But, like, it's just such the silliest movie moment. And the fact that it's like, okay, you knew that you were going to decline. Tell him before the dinner,
mm-hmm.
so that he doesn't do this,
mm-hmm.
and like embarrass himself by being like, yep, this is the guy that I've chosen. He's great, right, everyone? And then he's like, actually,
yeah,
I'm not gonna be doing that. And he's like, well, I'll just sit down in front of everyone here and feel embarrassed then.
Yeah.
Like, what a terrible thing to do to him. But it's that there's really nothing to it. It's not like he gets in trouble for it. Or Rip Torn like tears him a new one or something like that. No, not at all.
No.
It's just like, oh, well, I guess you won't then.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he does, and then he doesn't.
Yeah, right? I don't understand.
How are you? You're not able to flip-flop on a fucking government job like that.
Yeah, like there was another person who, as soon as you turned it down, became like corporal or whatever the fuck he was becoming. I don't even
commandant.
Know. Commandant. Yeah. It's like there was somebody else in line. There's no way that the line of succession was like, it's Dennis Quaid. But if it's not Dennis Quaid, then I'm on. We're up Schitt's Creek because I have no fucking idea who it's going to be. It could be anybody.
Like, except David Koechner.
Yeah, exactly. I did like that. And so, like, I forget, was the giant house party that the kids throw, like, that was, the plan was to get caught, right?
Yeah. What's her face?
Panabaker?
Yes.
The guitarist one?
Yes.
Yeah.
She, like, asks mom for permission, like, can we have a few people over?
Right, and then it's out of hand.
Yeah.
So it's a bigger deal when they come back, which, like, with Frank's, like, tendencies, just having a few people probably would have been enough.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, literally anyone who wasn't, like, sanctioned to be in the house, I'm sure he would have been furious about.
Mm-hmm.
But instead they have the type of party that I wrote down was like, oh man, wouldn't it be amazing if the third act of this movie suddenly turned into a slasher? Like, this was like, this was the thing. It was like, yep, and then there's the big third act party where, you know, eventually everyone's gonna leave and there's just a few people left, just the kids left, but like maybe somebody stuck around behind the party and they all start getting murdered and it's great, and then Dennis Quaid has to come and save them or something. Like, I would have preferred that movie. Instead it's just the silliness of like, there's a band.
It's
everyone's like jumping around and being silly. Yeah.
Well, Drake's band is playing. A keg did show up, and then like $400 was worth of pizza.
Right. Okay, that was it. I was thinking, I was like, wait, they didn't have beer though, right? But they apparently did, or someone ordered and they're like, who
did this? Someone brought a keg, and like two of the older kids like made a comment about it, like, did you know? Did you like?
Right.
And that's when they start realizing like how out of hand it's getting.
Yeah.
And then the pizzas show up.
When Dennis Quaid gets back and he blows that whistle to get everybody's attention to, you know, get everybody to leave his house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no way you're hearing that over a fully amplified band.
Nope.
Not a chance in hell that interrupts a rock show.
Nope. The people right around him probably heard.
Yeah, but the band didn't. They kept going. They finished the song.
And then people started cheering. They didn't. They still didn't hear the whistle.
Yeah, they all thought it was whistling of approval, and then they kicked into the next number, and he's still standing there like a jackass. But yeah, he kicks everybody out. They get all mad. He's all like, "You have 1 hour to clean this place."
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "Or what?
Yeah,
what are you really gonna do, Dennis Quaid?" Frank
start spanking the kids,
apparently. Yeah, right. Well, I mean, that's the thing, is like, they've already had, you know, arguments about like, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that, like, our parenting styles don't match. So it's like, what are you really gonna do?
Mm-hmm.
You say that, what, you're gonna like fucking beat the shit out of us? We're gonna be like, yo, Helen, what's this shit about? And then, you know, we get what we want anyway, because you definitely break up then.
Yeah,
because they absolutely do.
Uh-huh.
Kind of for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Her or hit, oh no, yeah, it was her. Because my note says, no fucking shit, lady. But her line of, it's obvious that we got into this way too fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I said that the moment you got together.
Uh-huh.
You know, an hour ago.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, this is way too fast.
Yeah. Like, these kids need to at least meet each other.
That was the craziest part. I was like, you have to do more to adopt a pet.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of like, you have to introduce it to the household it's going to. Like, they don't even discuss it with their children.
Yeah.
They're just like, we're married now, by the way. Like, we were on a cruise and then we got married. Holy shit, guys.
They had no notice.
Yeah, nothing at all.
Their dad got married on this reunion cruise.
Yeah, that is such the craziest thing. It's like, it doesn't have to. And in fact, I feel like the story works better if the deal is that the kids are trying to break them up before the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that's the movie.
Yeah.
And whatever, like, real life story this is based on, like, fuck it.
Yeah.
Take the inspiration and then make the better story.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, who gives a shit if it's not exactly like the lives of people that probably, that you know, the book was probably already an exaggeration of their lives.
Yeah.
And then the movie in the 60s was even further, and then this one even further. Like, at this point,
yeah,
there's no fucking actual resemblance to real people anymore. So just do whatever you want. Like, I'm sure there was no part in the book where he was like, and then my idiot twins jumped in a forklift and ruined a whole fucking store. Yeah. Like, that did not happen.
Nope.
The kids working together and, like, finally realizing that they all like each other. There's, like, there's just the scene we actually already talked about where the bullies show up again and then the whole family rolls in to, like, beat the shit out of them.
Yeah.
For their ignorance.
Or at least threaten to beat the shit out of them.
Yeah. Well, it's just, it's so terrible. It was the one genuine laugh that I had in the movie, and it was, like, derisively at the movie. You know, it wasn't like, I'm laughing at a joke you told, movie. Like, no, I am laughing because you suck so much that it is funny. That is the only real laugh I got out of it. And it was that scene where they're like, all right, it's time to beat these bullies up. And they, like, scare them off. And there's a bunch of the kids there. I mean, most of the kids are there. Possibly all of the kids are there because they all go to one school. What the fuck is that about? I have no clue. That was ridiculous. Like, the kids go to the same building.
There are K-12 schools out there.
But those kids were not, I mean, I guess it would have to be a real small town. It didn't seem that small of a town, but regardless. So all of the kids are there and they chase off the bullies. And one of them says, we took care of them family style. It's like the worst, like, line for, like, oh, this is gonna be the real, this is gonna be the kicker at the end of this movie. They're family now. So they beat them up family style. But so it's like that line happened and I was like, that was terrible.
Yeah,
I didn't laugh at that though because I was just like, awful. But the next moment is one of the kids, I think one of the girls, or maybe the boy, because his name was Willie. Mm-hmm. Right, the older military boy who was running for class president or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, literally, it's like, we took care of those bullies family style. And then a girl runs into frame and goes, Willie, you won the election. And everyone's like, yeah. And it's just like, it's so funny of the, like, we gotta fucking wrap everything up. Everything literally happens right now. Like, you beat the bullies family style. The girl runs in, you won the election. You gotta go to find your fucking dad. Like, your dad's leaving right now. You gotta go get him. Like, it's like they realized that they were fucking out of time.
Yeah.
They were like, holy shit. Okay, everything has to fit right now.
Yeah.
We got 10 minutes left, guys.
Jim, all 18 kids on that short bus.
Which, did they steal?
No, it seats 20. There were two other girls on the bus.
Oh, I didn't notice that. I just saw the bus start pulling towards the house. I was like, did those kids fucking steal a bus? That's ridiculous. Like, is anyone going to address this? Nobody does. That was very funny to me. but yeah, I thought it was ridiculous that he's leaving right then.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, before the kids were getting home.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was like, if those kids had been held up in traffic another, like, 10 minutes, he would have been gone.
Yeah.
He would have been like, well, peace. Yeah. Not marrying your mom, and I'm outie.
Uh-huh.
Talk to Munyon. Like, what?
Yeah.
This movie was really bad with the, like, timing of things where it was like, wait a minute, you just did that because it's a movie. That doesn't make any fucking sense. The scene where they have all the kids sit in a circle and they're gonna, like, oh, take the talking stick and try to, you know, do whatever, and all the military kids apparently don't know how to express feelings or hug or anything like that. Like, they're robots essentially. So it's like, oh, you know, the talking stick gets, like, halfway down the thing, and then Frank grabs it and is like, oh, okay, then I'm gonna talk.
Yeah.
And then one of the girls is like, we don't have time for this, we're gonna be late. And they all stand up to go leave. And I was like, why was this meeting happening then?
Yeah.
If you're gonna be late 30 seconds later.
Do you know, Helen?
Like, there's no, oh, this is ridiculous. This is the stupidest family in the world. But the whole bit of them saying, like, specifically that they're gonna go stop the boat sounds fucking crazy.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, okay, he's gonna go be a commandant, he's gonna be on this big giant fucking ship.
Mm-hmm.
They're about to leave off into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And these children, all they say is that we need to stop that boat. Like, in what way?
Yeah, what capacity do you mean?
Yeah, like, what, like, what, yeah, it would have been amazing if the end of this movie was, like, Mission Impossible, where, like, they have to, like, sneak in and snip some wires and shit, and the ship doesn't work anymore or something. But it's like, oh, no, instead, it's just that now they can sail a boat.
Together.
They learned just now how to sail a boat together? Like, when did they have the time in all of their scheming and planning to destroy their parents? When did they have the time to actually learn how to do this? Because they clearly couldn't earlier.
Well, the military kids could.
Okay, so the rest of them are just along for the ride. They're like, look, we got it, idiots.
I mean,
weird hippie children.
It seemed like they were giving some direction, like not using technical terms necessarily, but like,
don't you fucking fall overboard. Oh, like, my God.
Pull that rope sort of deal.
I thought it was very funny that like there were like the two teams of children where he was like, all right, you take all the little ones and go hang out with Miss Munyon or whatever. Like,
there
wasn't even really a plan for the young kids, but it was just like, we just don't want to have all these fucking kids on the boat at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, truthfully, from a movie making perspective, they were like, look, when it cuts to the fucking binoculars looking out at this sailboat coming towards this military vessel, and he's like, oh my God, it's my kids. Like, we don't want to have a bunch of fucking little kids on this boat. So instead of taking the whole family to be like, hey, Dad, we want you to stay, it's like, only us.
Yeah, just the older kids.
We left the little ones because, you know, they don't know shit.
Yeah, like, Munyon's home. It's fine.
Yeah, it's all good.
But yeah, the little kids stayed behind to put Mom's studio back the way it was.
Oh, right. And then they just fucking mess it up, which is like, that's not, like, I would be furious. I would be even more furious at that than the original thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I very much, I mean, it's not that terrible. It's not great. But, like, it's...
Mine's worse right now.
Like, I have a general sense of, like, okay, I know where things are, even if it's not all perfectly put away.
Yeah.
However, if someone were to just come in and fucking throw shit all over the place, I would be furious.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be like, that's not my chaos.
Yeah.
Mine is very specific.
Mm-hmm.
This is your bullshit child chaos. Like, oh my God.
Keep your kid chaos away from my doom piles.
Yes, morons. God. I don't think you can see a lighthouse in the daytime. Mm-hmm. Not like that, at least.
Not like that, no.
Like, maybe you could get a glint of the sun shining off of it if it's turning.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you're not getting the light bulb's light.
No.
Nobody is seeing that.
Not during the daytime. Not unless it's real cloudy.
Yeah, or foggy or some shit. Uh-huh. Like, there's absolutely no possible way. Because that was, like, the brightest, clearest day in the world.
Yeah. Make it evening.
Yeah.
Like,
what the fuck?
Sunset.
Why, so that the lighthouse makes goddamn sense.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's like, you know, as soon as he started fixing it early in the movie, I was like, oh, okay, he's fixing the lighthouse so that by the end it works.
Yeah.
I didn't know the exact context of it, but you know it's going to work by the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, okay, so yeah, you were building to this.
Yeah.
It's not like you suddenly decided to put the lighthouse in at the end and we're like, oh, it should have a light going. We'll just CGI in a fake light. Like, no, this is what you were heading towards.
Mm-hmm.
Why wasn't it at night? And then it's like, well, why would a military boat be launching at night? And be like, why would a military promotion happen in the middle of a dinner? You haven't given a shit this whole movie about how things happen. At least use one that makes a little bit of sense.
Yeah.
Like, and might be kind of visually striking. I don't know. Like, movie. What are we doing? Nothing. This was not good. Yes. I don't think I've ever seen a Nickelodeon movie that's actually good. Like, even the one that everyone's like, well, what do you mean? I mean, Good Burger. It's like, Good Burger isn't really that great of a movie either. It's fun because it's those two.
Yeah.
But it's like not a good movie.
Yeah.
Let's just throw that
fun
out there. Yes. But it is also bad.
Yes.
I don't think I've ever actually seen one that makes me laugh, at least of like live action. Because like, the SpongeBob movie,
yeah,
I think is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah, none of these like Nickelodeon produced.
I remember enjoying the Wild Thornberries movie.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I remember seeing the Rugrats movie.
Rugrats in Paris?
No, was that the one where they introduced the new baby? Whatever, Dill?
Dill.
No, right. No,
she was on a cruise when she found out she was pregnant.
Okay, I don't remember any of that shit. I'm just saying, whatever the movie was where they introduced the new baby was the one that I saw because I still distinctly remember how fucking dark it was.
Yeah.
Where, like, they all get lost and Tommy's got the baby and he's, like, gonna do something to it. I just remember it being, like, raining and muddy and lightning and he's got his, like, hand raised above the baby like he's gonna do something. And I was like, what is happening?
How is this? The dark side of Rugrats.
Yeah, it was the darkest fucking shit I've ever seen. It was like, I swear to God, it was like, oh, I'm going to make noise so that fucking wolves take you away or something like that. It was really heavy for a movie about tiny babies. But yeah, I'd say, I mean, Nickelodeon's strongest shit has always been animation.
Yeah.
So like, I don't blame this movie for being terrible because it's like, what track record is there?
Yeah.
There's no live action Nickelodeon movie track record to like live up to.
Yeah.
It's like, were you as
good?
Disney. Yeah. Oh, man. But I think that is going to wrap it up for Popcorn for Dinner for this week. Don't know exactly where we're going to go for the rest of it. I had sort of forgotten that this movie existed and was like, oh, shit, what are we doing for this week? And I was like, oh, right. We got this one. So now I'm really at that point of like, oh, shit, what are we doing for next week? But I guess we'll find out next week.
I have some ideas.
This is Jeff.
And Callie.
Jeez, Frank, you Googled another man's wife?